We're holding on Nunches Amr Aleph, 10th line by the two dots. Okay, so Nunches Amr Aleph, 10th line by the two dots. We learned in the Mishnah that after we said that the Kohen Gadol mixed the two basins of blood together, the pyre and the sire. So we discussed yesterday the Machlokes, did he do that before he sprinkled on the four corners of the Mizbeach, or did he do that only afterwards? We had our Mishnah had said, like Rav Yoshia, that mixes them first and then applies the mixture to the four corners of the Mizbeach. And then we had also Rav Yonason's opinion that said that that we only mix it afterwards, that first we apply separately the pyre and the sire to the four corners of the Mizbeach HaZahav, and then we mix them, and everybody agrees that we mix them, but everybody agrees that when he's going to do the sprinkling the seven times on the top of the Mizbeach, then it's mixed. So we'll discuss those sprinklings in the next Mishnah, but anyway, the Mishnah had used the expression Nosen Asamale Bereken Kula. The Mishnah had said that he pours the blood of the pyre into the blood of the sire, and then puts the full one into the empty one. Now, there's two ways of understanding that. We can understand that to mean, as we did when we learned the Mishnah, that it means that he pours the pyre into the sire, then he takes the blood with the mixture now and pours that back into the original one, with the idea being that that way it'll be better mixed. But the other possible way of understanding it would be that he takes the full one and places it inside the empty one. So in other words, now he has a stack of basins, a stack of bowls. The one that contained the blood of the pyre is, which he poured from, is on the bottom. And then inside it is the one that now contains the mixture of pyre and sire. So the Gemara starts off, Rami bar Chama Merav Chista. So Rami bar Chama asked Rav Chista a question, which we're going to try to use our Mishnah as a proof for. Hiniach Mizrak Vaseich Mizrak. Suppose the Kohen put one Mizrak inside another one, the Kibbalah Sadam, and then he used that for Kabbalah Sadam. Mahu, what would be the din? Would it be considered valid Kabbalah or not? Now the point is, the Kli Shardas has to touch the Kohen's hand. We learned Tosfos refers to, for example, in Psachim, we learned about the story of Yisachar Ishkar Barkai, who used to wear gloves when he did the Avodah, and that was possible. It was also to do that because the klisharis or whatever it is that he's doing the Avodah with has to touch the Kohen's bare hand. And we talk about how Yisachar ended up getting punished for that. So the same way over here, the question is the Mizrak on the outside considered a chatzitza between the inner Mizrak and the Kohen Gadol's hand, if it was, it would be possible. So now, Tosfos and Tosfos Yeshanim over here discuss a point about, on the other hand, we have in some other places in the Gemara, where it discusses a concept called Bekicha al-Yudah Dover Acher, Shmo Bekicha, that if you take something, if you pick up something using something else, then that is considered a valid way of taking it. So Tosfos discusses a distinction between, for example, let's say you're picking up lulav. The Gemara discusses this in connection with taking a lulav. So you wrap something around the lulav, and then you have that thing as longer, and you use that as like a handle to hold the lulav. So that could be considered still that you're taking the lulav, as opposed to if, let's say, you wear gloves and take the lulav, then that wouldn't necessarily be called the kicha. So then over here also, when it comes to the mizrach, the question would be, one possibility might be you're holding the outer mizrach only by its handles or only by its base or something. So then the question would be, are you considered thereby to be holding the inner mizrach as well? So the basic question is, Rami bar Chama asks, min b'minei chotzitz or einei chotzitz? Do we say that something of the same kind is a chatzitza or not? In other words, for example, in the case of the lulav, so you have, you're wrapping, let's say, a handkerchief around the lulav. It's not the same min as the lulav. Then you're holding the lulav through the handkerchief, or by way of, you're using it as like a handle to hold the lulav. So that's l'kicha yideh davar acher. And then we can talk about whether that's considered l'kicha or not. But there it's a different species. It's a different kind of thing. Here we're talking about the two clay shardis. They're both clay shardis. So maybe even if we said that l'kicha yideh davar acher is no good, or even if we said, like we said, that wearing gloves or whatever is no good, but putting one mizrach inside the other might be fine. So it's not chaytzitz, or maybe it is chaytzitz. Omalei, so Rav Chista answers him, Tinisua, you have on Mishnah as a proof. The Mishnah had said, Nosen asa molei berekon. He put the full keli inside the into the empty one. Now, my love, hoshiv molei, mizrach molei, losech mizrach rekon. Doesn't that mean that he places the full mizrach into the empty one? And that now what is he doing? Now he's holding the stack of them, and the pastor, he's holding it by the outer one, by the outer one's bottom or handle or what have you. And then we see that it is kosher. Min b'mino is not chotzitz, and considered that as if the inner mizrach is touching his hand. Now, why would we think that he does that? Why would we think that he puts one bowl inside another? So there's a couple of answers. The Siach Yitzchok says, practically speaking, this way, when he's walking over to the Mizbeach HaZahav with the blood, if any of it spills, it'll spill into the outer bowl rather than spilling on the ground. Svasemas says, once you've started doing the mitzvah with the one bowl, you should maybe continue and use that mitzvah and use that bowl as part of the same mitzvah as well. Whereas if you just set the one empty bowl aside, then it comes out. You used it for the mitzvah, the first part of the mitzvah, and now you're setting it aside and not doing it anymore. And there's a different answer, I think, from Chidushim of Yurim that says, because it wouldn't be derech eretz if you just leave an empty bowl, an empty dirty bowl lying over there, so therefore you want to have it participate. Anyway, so l'chora, that's what the Mishnah means, says Rav Chista. The answer is not necessarily, not necessarily. It may mean that he pours the contents of the full bowl into the empty bowl. Like we said, he pours from the power into the sir, and then from that mixture of power and sir, now he pours that back into the other one. In which case, the question is, hatanele resha, ira dama por l'sech dama sir. Didn't we already say he poured the blood of the power into the blood of the sir? So what would be the point of pouring that mixture back into the other one? And the answer is very simple. You could say that the Mishnah means that we wanted to pour it back into the original one in order to mix them very well. So he pours it from the power into the sir, and then the mixture of power and sir back into the bowl that originally contained the dama par in order for it to be well mixed. So you can't necessarily show from this Mishnah that he put one Mizrach inside the other, even though there might well be logical reasons, like we just said, to do that, to put one Mizrach inside the other, but that's not necessarily what the Mishnah is talking about. Okay, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring another proof. A Mishnah says, in Zvachim, Hoya Oymed Agabe Kli, if the Kohen, when he's doing the Avodah, is standing on a Keli, which would be a chatzitza between his foot and the floor. He has to be standing directly on the floor. Or if he's standing on somebody else's foot, puzzle, then the avodah that he does is puzzle. So now the other person's foot is the same min as his own foot, and we're still saying that it's puzzle. So that would show min b'mine chotzit, that even though both of them are the same kind of thing, they're both human feet, nevertheless, one is chotzit in the way of the other. So therefore, the answer should be that in the case of the mizrakos as well, even though they're both mizrakos, one should be chotzit in the other. The answer is not necessarily. Shiny regal dole motzi mevatale. You could say it's different with a foot because he's not able to be mevatale. So Rashi has a slightly different view. So dole mevatale, that he is not mevatale, meaning that his friend whose foot he's standing on is not going to be mevatale his foot, that it's going to necessarily remain there the whole time. He can move his foot whenever he wants. Therefore, you could argue that's more reason to consider that a chatzitza. As opposed to over here, you're talking about the mizrach is an inanimate object. Nobody is moving it unless you go and move it. So therefore, you could argue that maybe it's not considered a chatzitza. The girsa that we have in front of us, the lemotzi mevatalei, is, in other words, that the kohen himself who's doing the avoda is not able to be mevatal somebody else's foot. It's not in his koyach to be able to do that, because after all, the foot belongs to the other person. And you could talk about also, for example, let's say if the kohen is standing on a loose floor tile on the floor, where there also you can't say he's mevatalit, because after all that tile needs to be put back in place. It's not just going to be thrown away, as opposed to over here temporarily, as long as he's doing the avoda, he can be mevatal the one mizrach and the other, and it would just be considered like a handle for the other one, and maybe it should be good. Okay, so according to the first version, then we haven't necessarily proven the answer one way or the other to Rami Bahama's question. Maybe if you put one mizrach inside the other, then maybe it would be kosher, or maybe not. We can't be sure. Ikadamri, now there's another version of the question in the first place. The other version is, Boimine, that Rami Bar Chama asked Rav Chisda not whether it's choitzitz, but whether derech shiros pekach oy ein derech shiros pekach. Is that considered the normal way of serving or not? The kohen has to be serving in the Bais Mikdash, which implies that he has to be doing the avodah in the appropriate way. And so the question now would be not so much chatzitza. The question would be rather whether if he puts one mizrach inside another, is that considered derech shiros? Is that considered a normal way of serving, such that we should say it's kosher or not? So now the answer on that would be Tana Toshma, the Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel. From that we can answer based on a brisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. The brisa says when the pasuk says as kol klei hashoreis asher yishorsu vam bakodesh, the pasuk mentions talking about when they're packing up the kelim of the mishkan ready to travel to the next place. So it mentions the klei hashoreis in the plural asher yishorsu vam bakodesh, which they use them for serving in the holy place. And the implication is that you're using two kelim, so shnei kelim b'shiros achas. The implication is that you're able to use two kelim for one shiros, and therefore, in other words, the pasuk is implying that that's valid. So the answer is that that would be good. Tosfos Hashanim says in that case. So according to the second version, yes, we have answered that it is fine. Tosfos Hashanim asks, why don't we use this braisa as a proof for the first time around when we asked whether it's considered a chatzitza or not? Why didn't we use the same braisa to show that it's not? So Tosfos Hashanim says, because you could have, for example, again, you know, we talked about before how it could be a lekicha de davar acher, how it could be carrying it using something else, which would be valid, for example, holding on to the handle of the outer one, where that we don't say there's no issue of chatzitza necessarily. That would be lekicha de davar acher. That would be taking it using something else, like we said before, holding a wrapping a scarf around the lulav and then holding the end of the scarf in order to hold the lulav, which we say in sukkah that might be fine. So therefore there'd be no problem with chatzitza. Or you could have other cases that bichlal the braisa could be talking about. And Rami Bar Chama's second version of the question could be even where there's no chatzitza, even where there's no problem, other cases where there's no chatzitza involved, can you use two kelim for one avoda? And the answer would be that yes. So we have the two different versions of the question, whether it's the first one, whether it's a matter of chatzitza, and the second one, whether it's derech shiros. The Rambam paskins that it is in fact fine. So if he put one mizrach inside another one, then it is valid, and the Kabbalah is kosher. That all of this question, by the way, applies throughout the year, not only on Yom Kippur. So therefore, on Yom Kippur, in principle, the Kohen could put one basin inside the other if he wanted to. But the Mishnah doesn't mean that when it says nasana samale bereka. Doesn't mean that. It just means that he poured the contents of the full container into the empty one in order to mix them better. Okay. Another one. Rami Bar Chama asked Rav Chisda another question related to the previous one. He niach siv b'soich ha-mizrach. What if the Kohen put siv inside the mizrach? Siv is a kind of thing that grows around that grows around and wraps around a palm tree. So Rashi describes it's very soft. It's able to absorb the blood, and then the blood can leak through it. So it's not a true chatzitza. So if you put that inside the kli sharis, the kibbol bayis adam, and then you did kabbalah using the basin that had the siv inside it, mahu, what with it in? Now there, the sieve is obviously not the same min as the blood or as the mizrach. So now we don't have the question that we had before whether min b'minoy is a chatzitza or not. So the min b'she'ene min echotzitz. On the one hand, we should say it's a different min, therefore it is a chatzitza. Oy, ene chotzitz. Or maybe we can argue that it's not chotzitz because kiven de mechalchol, we can argue that since the blood is able to go through, it's able to leak through the holes in the sieve, then maybe it shouldn't be chotzitz. In other words, Rami Bar Chama knows if you put something non-porous in there, if you put let's say a piece of wood in there or something, there's no question that it would be possible. But here, since sieve is soft and porous enough that the blood can leak through it and touch the bottom of the container, maybe it wouldn't be considered a chatzitza. Or dom or loishno, maybe there's no difference. Either way, it would be a chatzitza. So Amale, so Rav Chista answers him again. Tanena, we have a Mishnah that expresses something from which we can learn from this. The Mishnah describes a case like this. Now once you have the Parah Aduma is prepared, you have the ashes of the Parah Aduma, you have to mix them with Mayim Chayim El Keli. You have to mix them with spring water in a keli. So now, let's say, for example, a common kind of thing to do in those days would be that you'd have a shoikas. A shoikas is a hollow stone, container-like that sits by the edge of a mayan. You have a mayan, you have a spring, and then above it, you have a shoikas. Normally, you would fill up the shoikas with water. The shoikas has a hole in the side for it to be able to fill up with water. Normally, you would use it for animals to drink. It would be like a trough for animals to drink in. In this case, you want to use it, you want to have the water of the mayan go into the shoikas, and then you're going to, once it's full of water, then you're going to put the Parah Aduma ashes into it and be mekadesh it. So in this case, now let's say that what happens if inside the shoikas, at the bottom of the shoikas, you have a sponge. Now, the problem is the sponge is not considered a keli. So any water that sponge absorbs is not considered mayim chayim. It's considered mayim chayim, but it's not mayim chayim el keli, because it's not a keli. The result is, therefore, that if the water in that sponge eventually comes out of it, as it will tend to do, because the sponge is porous and the water is going to be squeezed out of it, if the water of it gets squeezed into the water that's in the rest of the shoikas, then the water and the Parah Aduma ashes in it that are in it are going to become pusul, because now you have water that was not in a keli got mixed in with it. So the Mishnah describes, so what do you do in that case in order not to pusul all the water? So you've done kiddush mechatas in the shoikas. Now you want to empty out. Now you want to pour out the water in the shoikas and put it into some kind of portable container that you can take wherever you need to. So normally, if there wasn't a sponge there, no problem. You can just open up the hole in the side of the shoikas and it'll drain out from there into your bottle or whatever, and then you're good. But here, where you have a sponge in there, the Mishnah says zoylef v'holech. You have to empty out the water from there and keep on going. Zoylef, Rashi translates it with a French word that means to bail it out. Like you take a spoonful or a small cupful of water at a time out of the shoikas in order to make the water level go lower and lower. So far you're not touching the sponge. So this way, as long as the sponge is not touched, no water is going to come out of it and get mixed with the other water, because there's no reason it would. The water that's inside it is already inside it. So you start drawing out the water from the shoikas ad shemagia l'sfoig, until you reach the water level of the sponge, and then at that point you stop, because any time after that you take out water from the shoikas, it's going to cause water to get squeezed out of the sponge. Anyway, the point is that we see that the sponge is not considered a chatzitza between the water and the bottom of the shoikas. The only problem is the water that got absorbed in the sponge. So you see, the answer would be that yes, applying to your case, Rami Bachama, where you put sieve inside the mizrach and then did Kabbalah Saddam with it, you would say the same thing. Since the water is able to leak through the blood and able to touch the bottom of the container, then it wouldn't be a chatzitza, the same way as we're saying that the water leaks through the sponge, and therefore it's considered that it touches the bottom and there's no problem with it. However, the Gemara says, not necessarily, because shiny maya deklishi. It's different with water. Water is very thin, as opposed to blood is thicker. So blood is thicker than water, as they say. So with water, you could say that the fact that there's a sponge in there doesn't constitute a chatzitza, because the fact is the water easily penetrates through the sponge. But blood is, after all, thicker. Even though, yes, some of it is leaking through the sieve, you could still argue that maybe that's not considered enough to be able to make it that it should be considered inside the keli rather than on top of the sieve, which is inside the keli. So according to the first version, then, so again, we have two versions of what happened over here. The first version is Rav Chista tried to bring a proof from the Mishnah in Parah, and we shot it down and said that that's not a valid proof. Ikadamri, another version is that he answered him straight out. He answered him as follows. The dam kosher, if this happened with blood, then it would be kosher. Because as we said, even though it's true that blood is thicker, nevertheless, the fact is it does leak through the sieve and collects at the bottom of the container. Therefore, we can say that it's not considered a chatzitza. On the other hand, the koimetz posel. On the other hand, if you did the same thing with the koimetz of a mincha, then it would be posel. Meaning, in other words, so you have with a korban mincha, so we have after you bring the mincha in a keli, and afterwards you take a koimetz from the flour from the flour and oil mixture. Now afterwards the din is you have to place that koimetz into another kli shares, and then that's mekadesh it as the koimetz. Just like with an animal korban, you have four major avodas. And the first one is shchita, and the second one is kabbalah, receiving the blood in a basin. The same way, when it comes to a korban mincha, you have the first two avodas are kmitza, which is like shchita, and placing the koimetz into a kli shares, which is similar to kabbalah. So you have to place it in a kli shares. So Rav Chista says then, if you did something like this, if you took sieve and put it inside a mizrach, and then you put the koimetz inside that mizrach, then it would in fact be possible, because then the sieve is chotetz. It is chotetz and prevents the koimetz from touching the bottom of the container. Tosfos Yeshanim says, obviously, wouldn't that be a chiddush? What's the chiddush in that? Isn't it obvious? And the answer is, the fact is, the solus is after all fine flour. It might sometimes some of it might leak through the sieve. After all, not all of it holds together that well. I mean, it's mixed with oil, but it doesn't become necessarily a semi-solid mass. There might be some bits of it that fall through the sieve and touch the bottom of the container. Nevertheless, we're saying that no, because the majority of it does not. The Rambam actually learns that the Gemara is talking about a slightly different case. When we say the koimetz posel, we're talking about if you put the mincha to begin with in a keli that has sieve in it, and then you took kmitza from that keli, then it would be posel. Okay, I mean, it amounts, both dinim are true. It's true that if you put the mincha into such a keli, it would be a chatzitza, because the sieve would be a chatzitza between the soilus, between the flour and the bottom of the container. And it's also true that the same thing would be true when you take the koimetz and put it into another container. Same idea. But in any case, with blood, it would be kosher, and that was Rami Bachama's original question. Okay. The Mishnah says, continuing on what the Kohen Gadol is doing, the Pasuk says, V'yotza el ha-mizbeach asher lefnei Hashem. The Pasuk says you should go out to the Mizbeach, which is before Hashem. Now, what does that mean? Which Mizbeach is that? Zem Mizbeach HaZahav. That means the Mizbeach HaZahav, because only the Mizbeach HaZahav can be described as lifnei Hashem. The Mizbeach HaChitzon is outside in the Azara, so it's not as close to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, therefore we can't really call it lifnei Hashem. So it goes to the Mizbeach HaZahav. Actually, the Gvura Sari says we don't really need to learn from the word Lifnei Mizbeach Hashem. It could be the Mishnah is just introducing it using the phrase from the Pasuk, but not that it's actually darshaning from the Pasuk that Lifnei Hashem means the Mizbeach HaZahav. Practically speaking, since we know the Pasuk tells us V'chiper Aaron al-Karnois of Achas Bashana, that the Kohen Gadol accomplishes Kapara on the Mizbeach HaZahav once a year on Yom Kippur, automatically we know he has to go now to the Mizbeach HaZahav. So the Mishnah, when it says V'yotza al-Mizbeach HaShem Lifnei Hashem, it's not mentioned in the Pasuk for purposes of a Drasha, it's just mentioned in the Pasuk for purposes of introducing the next stage of the Avodah. Okay.
About positioning the Mizbeach Achitzon, it had to be Lifnei Hashem, and it had to be in sight of the Kodesh HaKodashim. Now we're saying it has nothing to do with it?
No, so we're not saying it has nothing to do. We're saying the entire Mizbeach, at best we can say that the Mizbeach HaZahav on the whole is Lifnei Hashem, because it's inside the Kodesh, and it's positioned directly in front of the Aron, whereas the Mizbeach HaZahav, parts of it can be called Lifnei Hashem, but not necessarily the whole thing.
Well, there was a whole machlokes about the position of the Mizbeach relative to the Kodesh HaKodashim and the Eichel. And we said then that it's Lifnei Hashem.
Later on in the Gemara as well. In the Gemara and our Mishnah as well, indeed. But nevertheless, even the opinion that says that some part of the Mizbeach is Lifnei Hashem agrees that not all of it is. So whereas the Mizbeach HaZahav as a whole is Asher Lifnei Hashem.
Okay. So why didn't we say at the time it has to be in front of the Eichal instead of saying Lifnei Hashem?
Because that's what we said. We said that the whole Mizbeach HaChitzen obviously can't be in front of the door of the Heichel, because the door of the Heichel is only 10 amos wide, the door of the Ulam is only 20 amos wide, and the Mizbeach is 32 amos wide. So necessarily some parts of it are not going to be Lifnei Hashem anyway. The question was just which parts are and which parts aren't. Was it all in the south side of the Azara? Was it all in the north side? Was it someplace in the middle? But in any case, only a certain segment of it was Lifnei Hashem. But we are going to get back to that point later on when we talk about what side of the Yesod they poured the Shirayim on. Then this is going to factor in. You're right. But right now, we're talking about we want a Mizbeach that as a whole is considered Lifnei Hashem, and only the Mizbeach HaZahav fulfills that criterion. Okay. So now, how does he apply the blood to the four corners? So the Mishnah says, Hiskel mechate v'yored. He started being mechate and going downward. Rashi explains that the word mechate is a lotion of going down. Tosfos Yeshanim says that not necessarily. The word mechate just means applying the blood of a chatas to the Mizbeach. Anyway, he would go downward. Now, Rashi describes as follows. The problem is, the Kohen Gadol is going to be walking around the Mizbeach HaZahav, which we're going to see a machlokus about that, whether he walks around or whether he just reaches around it. But right now we're talking according to the Tanna Kamma that he walks around. The problem is, if he were to do from the bottom to the top, so what does he have to do? He has to dip his finger in the blood, and then he goes with his finger along the sharp corner of the Mizbeach HaZahav, and goes and applies the blood and daubs the blood all the way along the corner, along the height of the corner. The problem is if he goes from the bottom up, then what's going to happen is the blood is going to leak down, his finger and wind up getting into his sleeve and dirtying it. And we don't want that. So therefore, necessarily, he has to have his fingers higher up, further away from the palm of his hand. So therefore, necessarily, he's going downward. He's going in a downward motion, and that way the blood doesn't leak into his sleeve. So therefore, that's why he's going downward. Mehechan hu maschil. Where does he begin the application? Which corner does he start with? Maschil mekeren mizrachis tzvonis. He starts with the northeastern corner. Then tzvonis marobis, the northwest. Marobis dromis, southwest. Dromis mizrachis, and then southeast. Which means the southeast corner, which is where when he's applying blood of a chatas on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, he starts with that corner, as we say in morning davening in Ezra Mekoyman, Olav HaKevesh, Ufana LaSoviv, he goes up the ramp of the Mizbeach HaChitzen, he goes up to the Soviv, Uvala LaKen Dremis Mizrachis. The first one he comes to is the southeast corner, because we said, and we're going to mention in the Gemara, that when he comes up the ramp of the Mizbeach, we want him to first turn to his right, and since the ramp is on the south side, then when he turns to his right, that brings him facing towards the east, and therefore then the first corner that he reaches is the southeast corner. So that's on the Mizbeach HaChitzen. So that same corner, the southeast that he begins with, when he's applying blood on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, Misham HaYagomer on Mizbeach HaPnimi, that same corner, or the corresponding corner on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, is where he finishes, because we said the last one that he does on the Mizbeach HaPnimi is going to be the southeastern corner. So in our Mishnah, we're saying that he's going counterclockwise. He's starting with northeast. Then he's going moving towards his right with the Mizbeach HaZahav in front of him and going to northwest, moving again to his right and going to southwest, and then moving to his right and going to southeast. So he goes counterclockwise then. We'll see in the Gemara that that's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And Rabbi Akiva is going to say the other way around, as we'll see. So that's one opinion. Rabbi Eliezer says he didn't actually have to walk around the Mizbeach. Instead, Rabbi Eliezer says he's able to stand where he is and do the chitui and do the application. Because the point is, the Mizbeach HaZahav is much smaller. The Mizbeach HaZahav is only an amma by an amma, which actually, when you get down to it, is the size of one of the kronos on the large Mizbeach. The Mizbeach HaChitzen had four kronos, an amma by an amma, in each of the corners. Here, the whole Mizbeach HaZahav is only an amma by an amma. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says there's no reason to have to walk around it on foot. The Kohen Gadol can stand in one place and reach over to each of the four sides of the Mizbeach and be able to apply the blood. So therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, with all the other ones, he's able to start at the bottom and go upward, because there's no problem that the blood is going to leak down his finger and go into the sleeve of his ksoines, because he's doing it, he's reaching over, and his finger is going to be below the level of his hand. When he's doing it right in front of him, then necessarily if he does it from the bottom up, means that his finger is going to be on the same level as his hand, and therefore there's much more of a possibility that it's going to leak down his hand and leak into his sleeve. But when he's doing it, when he's reaching over the Mizbeach, when he's reaching over and reaching around the Mizbeach, and then his finger is lower than the palm of his hand, therefore there's no problem that blood is going to leak off it into his shirt sleeve. Therefore he can be doing it from the bottom up. Chutz mizu, with the exception of the one that he's standing in front of, shoyer noisim and ma'ala mata, there Rabbi Eliezer says necessarily he has to do from the bottom up for the reason that we said, because otherwise there, since his hand is closer to the tip of his finger is going to be closer to the palm of his hand, then therefore if he does it from the bottom up, it's going to leak down his hand and leak into his sleeve. Okay. So either way, so he does the four. So we're going to see in the Gemara more about that, about the different opinions. It's called hakofa b'yad or hakofa b'regel. Is he circling the mizbeach only with his hand? So he's staying in one place and his hand is going around the different sides, the different corners of the mizbeach, or is it hakofa b'regel that he actually has to walk around the mizbeach with his feet? So we'll talk about that more in the Gemara. Anyway, then once he's finished with those four, he's al torish on his beach shavapamim. The next thing he does is he takes the mixture of blood, and he already, Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonason both agree that it's mixed. Again, with the matone sacrones, we had yesterday the machlokas, Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonason, whether he does individually from the par and the sor, or whether he does them mixed together, but here when he comes to torish on his beach, definitely he's mixing them together. So he does that. He sprinkles on Toharoi Shamizbeach Shevapamim seven times. Now, the word Toharoi, the Gemara is going to explain. We're going to learn tomorrow, Bez Hashem, that the word Toharoi has two possible meanings. It can mean the middle, and it can mean the clean area on top. So we'll see in the Gemara which one it means. Okay. Next, Vashire Hadam. Now, the leftover blood, after he's done all these matones with the blood, the leftover, he would go out of the Heichel and pour it on the western side of the Yisoid of the Mizbeach HaZahav. So here is a case we're going to talk about in the Gemara tomorrow about, or not tomorrow, we're going to talk about in the Gemara, we're going to talk about a little bit tomorrow, I guess, about the what side of the Mizbeach HaChitzen faces the Heichel and therefore is considered Lifnei Hashem. Again, like we were talking about before, there is a part of the Mizbeach HaChitzen that can be described as Lifnei Hashem, because after all, it is right in front of the Heichel. There's a different part that can't. So the Gemara is going to explain. Yeah, we're going to talk about tomorrow in the Gemara why it is that he would put it on the western side specifically. Okay. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah, the leftover blood of Korbanos, so that where the blood was placed on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, so regular chatois, oilos, shlomim, etc., all of those, those he would pour on the south side of the Yisoid. Now, when we say the south side of the Yisoid, the Yisoid didn't surround the Mizbeach on all four sides. It went along the entire northern side of the Mizbeach, and the entire western side, then it stuck out a little bit by the southeast corner and by the northwest corner. So what it means, it stuck out a little bit, southwest and northeast corners, rather. It stuck out a little bit. What it means that it stuck out a little bit, you have a couple of different explanations of Mephoshim. One is that it stuck out as it continued in a straight line with the Yisod up until that point. It continued on a straight line for one Amma past the wall of the Mizbeach is one way of understanding it. Another way of understanding it is that it wrapped around the corner and continued for a distance of one Amma and then stopped. And then there's a third opinion that actually it wrapped all the way around the corner and went around most of that side. It just stopped one Amma short of the corner. Anyway, the point is, the Yisod Dromi over here would be, when we say the south side, according to the first opinion, doesn't literally mean there's not really a Yisod on the south side. It just means the part over there, the one Amma that's sticking out towards the south from the Yisod that was going the main body of the Yisod on that side, on the west, had been on the west, had been all along the west side. Now it sticks out toward the south, one amma past the southern wall of the Mizbeach. So you pour, so when you have Chatois and other Karbonis where the blood is sprinkled on the outside of Mizbeach, then the leftover blood gets poured over there. Again, we'll see in the Gemara why. Elu ve'elu, both kinds of blood from the Mizbeach HaPnimi and from the Mizbeach HaChitzen that are poured onto the Yisod, both of them misarvin ba'ama, they both get mixed together in the Amma, which is the water channel that went through the Azara that drains out to Nachal Kidron. So previously we've talked about whether you have, we talked about yesterday about certain Shirayim that are possible where you don't pour them onto the Yisod at all, you just pour them straight into the Amma. He was saying, even the regular ones that were poured on the Yisod, ultimately they would eventually, they drain out into the Amma, and then they drain out that way together with the water. The Yotz and the Nachal Kidron, they would go out to Nachal Kidron, which is the deep valley east of Yerushalayim. They would drain out over there. Vinim Karim, like Anon and Lezevel, they would sell this blood that came out of there to gardeners for fertilizer. There were people who had gardens and farms in that area by Nachal Kidron. And so so the Gizbarim of the Beis Mikdash would sell this blood that landed over there as fertilizer for them, Umoylan Behan, and if people used it without paying Hekdash for it, then there would be Me'ila involved. It's also to use it without paying Hekdash. We're going to discuss in the Gemara tomorrow about what level of Me'ila is there in them. Daraisa, Darabanan, we'll talk about that. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Tana Rabbanan, V'yotza El HaMizbeach, when the Pasuk says you should go out to the Mizbeach, Ma Talmud Loma, why do we need to say that? Obviously, we know that he has to go out because before he was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then he was in the Kodesh right in front of the Parochas. Now he has to go further out into the Kodesh to the Mizbeach Hazav. Obviously, that's a going out compared to where he was before. Why did the Pasuk need to mention going out at all? So Amar Rav Nechemya, the feature Matzino with Par HaBar Kol Mitzvahs, we find when it comes to the par that's brought in connection with all the mitzvahs, which means the par helam davar shel tzibur, where the Sanhedrin made a mistake in halacha in certain areas of halacha, and most of the people followed them, and then they have to bring a par as a chatas, and the chatas is sprinkled, the blood is sprinkled inside the hekel. So we find with that, shekoyen omen chutz mizbeach, the koyen stands outside of the mizbeach. The koyen does not stand between the mizbeach hazav and the parochas. He stands on the other side of the mizbeach hazav, between the Mizbeach HaZahav and the door. So he stands over there, Umaza ala Parochas, and he sprinkles on the Parochas, which we mentioned yesterday. We were talking about Rabbi Elazar, but Rabbi Yossi says that he saw the Parochas, or he saw the Parochas in Rome, and he saw on it drops of blood. And we said that we know that he knew that they were from Purim and Asirim and Seirim and Israfim because they were in a random order. And the idea is, again, because when you think about it, the Kohen Gadol who's standing there and doing the Avodah is standing far away from the Parochas. The Mizbeach HaZahav is a good few amas away from the Parochas. So he's sprinkling in that direction. If it lands on the Parochas at all, and the Chachamim said there it doesn't even necessarily need to land on the Parochas, but if it's going to, it's going to fall in any random pattern, unlike the ones of Yom Kippur, where he's standing right in front of the Parochas, and they can fall in a certain pattern, in a line according to Rashi, or all in one place according to everybody else. Anyway, so there the Kohen Gadol stands outside the Mizbeach, and umazal parochas, and he sprinkles towards the parochas. V'shalshu umazal. So when he's sprinkling, yachol af zekain. So now you would think the same thing applies to the korbanos of Yom Kippur, that also he should be standing out further out than mizbeach hazahav and sprinkling on the parochas. No, tamad leimer v'yotze al mizbeach. Therefore, the pasuk says he should go out to the mizbeach, implying heichan haya. Where was he up to this point? He was lifnim min mizbeach. Up until this point, he was further in from the mizbeach. It was between the parochas and the heichal. It was between the parochas and the mizbeach hazahav, and that's where he was standing for the sprinklings of Yom Kippur. So therefore, the pasuk says v'yotza al mizbeach to imply where he was standing up until now. Okay, that's one braisa. Tanya idach. Another braisa says the pasuk says about the par helam davar shel tzibur. The pasuk says that he should sprinkle the blood lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem. So ma tamad leimer, what does that have to say? Given that the pasuk continues that it takes place in front of the parochas, obviously that is lifnei Hashem. So omer Nechemya, So in the second Braiser, Nechemi says, Lafisha Matsinu, but the other way around, Lafisha Matsinu, but Pirate Sorosha Yom Kippurim, we find when it comes to the Pirate and Sor of Yom Kippur, Shekoin Omen, the Phnimianam's Beach, the Kohen Gadol is standing closer to the Kodesh HaKadoshim than the Mizbeach HaZahav. He's standing between the Mizbeach HaZahav and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And umaza ala parechas b'shalosh umaza, and then that's in that position he's standing there and sprinkling on the parechas. Yochol af zekein, you would think the same thing should apply to the par helam davashal tzibur, and also the siri avodah zarah, where the blood also has to be sprinkled inside the heichal. Maybe he stands in front of the parechas, between the parechas and the mizbeach hazav. No, tamad leimah mizbach toras hasamim lufnei Hashem. Therefore, the pasuk stresses that he applies the blood to the mizbeach on which ketores of spices is brought lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, Hashem ba'oyel moed, which is in front of the oyel moed, implying mizbeach lifnei Hashem ve'en kohen lifnei Hashem, implying when it comes to those sprinklings of the par and the sur, the mizbeach is in front of Hashem, but in other words, there's an unobstructed line from it to the kodesh to the parochas, but the kohen gadol is not because he's standing outside it. Okay, so what does that mean? He has to stand further out from the Mizbeach, and then he sprinkles in the direction of the Parechas. So it comes out, that's what it is. In other words, when it comes to the Par and Sod of Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol stands right in front of the Parechas. So you have the going from west to east, you have Parechas, then Kohen Gadol, then Mizbeach HaZahav. Whereas when it comes to the Par and Sod and Asrafim, then you have the other way around. First Parechas, then Mizbeach HaZahav, and then the Kohen Gadol who's standing there and sprinkling in that direction. Okay. Then we said Hischa Mechate V'Yored. Then we said he started applying the blood downward.
Yeah. So the only time that the Kohen Gadol is sprinkling in front of Parochas is on Yom Kippur? Is that what you're saying?
Right, that's exactly. All the other times when he's in the Heichel sprinkling blood, he is sprinkling it in the direction of the Parechas. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he has to sprinkle it hard enough for it to reach the Parechas and land on it. But he's not actually standing right in front of the Parechas. He's standing on the other side of the Mizbeach HaZahav. The Mizbeach HaZahav is between him and the Parechas. And then he does the Hazois forcefully, and they go as far as possible. According to the Chachamim, they don't have to touch the Parechas. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yosi, they do.
How far is he from the Mizbeach HaZahav on other days of Yom Kippur?
It doesn't say how far. I mean, the whole Heichel is 40 amos long. The Mizbeach HaZahav is one way of understanding it, is that the Mizbeach HaZahav is exactly in the middle of that length, meaning that it's 20 amos from the entrance and 20 amos from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And in that case, it would mean that he's at least 20 amos away. But it is also possible, maybe it was actually a little bit closer, after we've learned before that the Mizbeach HaZahav can't be blocking the Shulchan and the Menorah from seeing each other, but that could still mean the Mizbeach HaZahav could be a good deal closer to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It just has to be far out enough that it's not going to be in between the Shulchan and the Menorah, but it could conceivably be closer, such that maybe the Kohen Gadol is only 10 or 15 amos away from the Parechas. But in any case, it's different than on Yom Kippur, where he's standing right in front of the Parechas.
Right.
Next, we said in the Mishnah, Hischa Mechate V'Yored, so he starts applying the blood downward. So again, we said Rashi says that Mechate, the word Mechate itself, means to go downward. And Tosfos Yeshanim said that no, the word Mechate just means to apply blood of Mechatas. Anyway, so we said in the Mishnah that he starts going in a counterclockwise direction. We said he starts at the northeast corner of the Mizbeach, and works his way around it counterclockwise. So Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa with more details about this. Hischa Mechate V'Yored, he starts applying the blood downward on the corners. Mehechan HaYamaskel, where does he start from? Mekeren Mizrachis Dremis, he starts from the southeast corner. Now in the Mishnah, we said that was the one he ended with. So we're going to see that that's what Rabbi Yosi Aglili holds. Our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbi Akiva says the other way around. He starts with the southeast corner, then Dremis Ma'aravis, then southwest, Ma'arobis Tzfonis, the northwest, Tzfonis Mizrachis, and then northeast, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva is having him going around the Mizbeach in a clockwise direction, starting from the southeast and ending up by the northeast. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yosi Aglili, I remember Keren Mizrachis Tzfonis. Rabbi Yosi Aglili says he starts from the northwestern corner, Tzfonis Ma'arovis, northeastern, Tzfonis Ma'arovis, the northwestern, Ma'arovis Dremis, southwestern, Dremis Mizrachis, and southeastern. So he's going counterclockwise. and Mokum should Rabbi Yossi Aglili Maschil Shom Rabbi Akiva Poisik. So it comes out the corner that Rabbi Yossi Aglili says for him to start with is the one where Rabbi Akiva says for him to end with, and Mokum should Rabbi Akiva Maschil Shom Rabbi Yossi Aglili Poisik, and vice versa, the one that Rabbi Akiva starts with is the one that Rabbi Yossi Aglili ends with.
In Hagos V'Tziyonim, it adds over here that the Rashba adds a girsa that he had, which it seems from the way Rashi comments on it, that Rashi had this girsa as well, that the underlying machloikas has to do with which side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim did he come out of. Now, we learned earlier in the Masechta, we had the opinion of the Chachamim that there were two Poroichasin hanging between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and we said that the one on the outside was open toward the south. So then it comes out, in other words, he came out of the south side, therefore, so Rabbi Akiva will be taking the view, therefore, that the first side of the Mizbeach that he reaches is the southern side. And therefore he's having him start with the southeastern corner. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he would agree with Rabbi Yossi before, who said that there was only one Poroichas, and that one Poroichas, the opening in it was from the north. Everybody agreed, we said, that the entrance into the Kodesh HaKadoshim was on the north, in the second Beis HaMikdash we're talking about. So the entrance was on the north, according to Rabbi Yossi over there. Rabbi Yossi is different than Rabbi Yossi Aglili, by the way, two different Tanoim. But anyway, Rabbi Yossi had held over there that there's only one Poroichas, and the entrance, the opening, is on the north side. Therefore, the Kohen Gadol was on the north, and therefore, when he comes to them as Mizbeach HaZahav, the first side that he reaches is the north side. So that would be one way of understanding it. A different understanding, actually, that Rashba brings in that same Tshuva. Maybe they both agree that there are two Poroichasin, but the Machloikas would be, like this we said before, that if there were two Poroichasin, the outer one was open on the south and the inner one was open on the north. Maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Yossi Aglili would say the other way around, that the outer one was open on the south, where it was open on the north, and the inner one on the south. So therefore, again, it would come out that he's coming out from the north side, and therefore heads towards the north side of the Mizbeach. There is an interesting point, actually, which is that he didn't walk straight from the Kodesh HaKadoshim to the Mizbeach HaZahav. He stopped off in front of the Poroichas to do the Hazois over there. So on the face of it, he's right in the middle over there. So what's the difference now? He's not really any closer to the north side or the south side of the Mizbeach. So Mephoshim talk about that not necessarily. Given all that has to be is he has to sprinkle the blood in front of the Poroichas in a part of the Poroichas behind which there is the Aron, or in the second Mishnah, behind which where the Aron would have been. Now, the Aron is 2.5 amas wide. Therefore, he has a space of 2.5 amas. He could be standing anywhere in that space and doing the Hazal. So therefore, so Rabbi Akiva would understand that he stands towards the south side of that 2.5 amos. Therefore, he is slightly closer to the south side of the Mizbeach HaZahav than to the north side. The whole Mizbeach HaZahav, remember, is only an amma by an amma. So if he's standing, so if he's standing on the southern edge of the 2.5 amos behind which there is the Aron, then it comes out that now he's an amma or an amma and a half away to the south. From the south side of the Mizbeach HaZahav, and then he walks over there. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says that he came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the north, again, either because there's only one curtain or because there's two and the opening of the outer curtain is on the north, either way, the point is, again, he would be doing the sprinklings on the northern side, in the northern part of those 2.5 amas, and therefore that puts him an amma or an amma and a half away from the northern wall of the Mizbeach HaZahav. So the Gemara says, "Dekulei alma." So fine. So that's the underlying machlokes. That's the underlying machlokes. Actually, now that's according to Rashi. Rabbeinu Chananel and Tosfos Yeshanim have a different understanding what the source is of their machlokes. The machlokes rather would be when we say v'yotza el mizbeach. What does that mean? Does it mean that he just has? We're going to say in the Gemara now that he has to go out to the mizbeach, meaning that he has to pass the entire width of the Mizbeach. But does that mean he only has to pass the entire width of it east to west? He's walking from the west, from closer to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, towards the east, and he has to pass by the whole northern or southern wall of the Mizbeach. Is that enough? Or does it also mean, v'yotza, that he also has to that he also has to pass the entire width of the Mizbeach, the entire north to south width, another Amma, before he starts the applications of blood to the Mizbeach. So that would be the Machlokas. Therefore, does he have to do that? So it wouldn't necessarily depend, according to Rabbeinu Chananon, according to Tosfos Rishonim, it wouldn't necessarily depend what side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim he comes out of. They might all agree that he comes out from the south side, but Rabbi Akiva would say that he only needs to pass the Rabbi Akiva would hold, that he only has to pass by the entire north to south length of the Mizbeach, the one Amma, and then once he reaches the southeastern corner, he can start right there. Whereas Rabbi Yisraeli would say, no, he also has to pass by the entire length of the Mizbeach, north to south, and therefore he has to walk an additional Amma towards the northeast corner, and therefore Rabbi Yisraeli would have him starting over there. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Dekule amamia." Now the bottom line is, everybody agrees. Bahu keren de pogam bereisha loy ovid. He's definitely not doing the hazar. He's definitely not doing the daubing of the blood on the first corner that he comes up with. In other words, let's say, for example, he's coming out of the Kodesh Kodashim on the south side. So which corner is he going to get to first? The southwestern corner, because he's on the south and he's walking from the west towards the east. So naturally, the first corner he reaches is the southwest. But he doesn't begin with that one. According to Rabbi Akiva, he begins with the southeastern one. Similarly, according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, according to Rashi's understanding of Rabbi Yosi Aglili, at least, and the Rashbaz, he comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the north side. Therefore, the first corner that he reaches is the northwest, and he doesn't begin with that one. He goes to the northeast. So why is that? My time. Amar Shmuel, Amar Kura, because the pasuk says, V'yotza el ha-mizbeach. The pasuk says, you should go out to the mizbeach. Implying it only works ad the nafik mikolam mizbeach. He has to leave the entire area of the mizbeach. So he has to pass by the entire width of the mizbeach, the entire east to west dimension of the mizbeach before he can start. And then again, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, according to Tosfos Rishonim, we would say also that maybe Rabbi Yosi Aglili requires him on top of that to also walk the entire other dimension of the mizbeach from south to north, and only then can he begin the sprinkling on the northeastern corner. Okay, so the question is now, okay, so now, according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, then we understand. So now that he reaches a certain corner, now he starts from that counterclockwise, and as long as he's going, in other words, he's constantly going to his right, which is how you should do it in the Besmikdash. You should be going to the right. So now, Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, has going clockwise, which means that he's constantly going to his left. So the question is, Rabbi Akiva, nakif derech yamin. So according to Rabbi Akiva, why is he doing that? Why is he not going the right way around, which would mean counterclockwise? Lema b'dedami b'yechezkel kamifligi. Should we say that means that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili argue about what Rami b'yechezkel said? Now, as usual in the Gemara, I mean, Rami b'yechezkel lived long after Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili. But all the Gemara means is this statement that we're now quoting, his name was known long before him. He just is the first one to put it in these words and for it to be recorded in the Gemara in his name. So therefore, so the question would be whether Rabbi Akiva agrees with this concept. Namely, Da'amar Rami b'Yecheskel, we learned this earlier in the Masechta as well, actually. Yam sha'asa shloimai, the yam, which is a big copper container, a big copper tank that Shloimai made, it held the amount of water that normally would take to fill 150 mikvahs, and the purpose of it was for the koyanim to toivel in it. So that yam, omid al shnei masa bakar, the pasuk says it was standing on 12 cast copper, on 12 casts of copper oxen, shloish aponim tzafona, three facing toward the north, or shloish aponim yama, three to the west, or shloish aponim negba, three facing to the south, or shloish aponim mizracha, three pointing toward the east, v'ayom aleim milamayla, the yam, the tank of water, was sitting on top of their backs, v'chol achoreihem boisa, and all their backsides were toward the inside. So in other words, when you walked around the yam shel shloimai, you would not see the backsides of any of these copper oxen. Instead, you would see their front, you would see their heads and their faces, and the front halves of their bodies. So the point is now, halamadra, now you learn from the way the pasuk gives it, first north, then west, then south, then east. That's going in a counterclockwise direction. Halamadra, from here you learn, shekol pinis shatapoina, that when you're turning in the Bismikdash, lo yu, elo derech yamin, then you should only be always towards the right side, Lemizrach towards the east. Now Rashi says over here and in other places where we have this expression, it doesn't really need to say Lemizrach. The original context where Rami Bar Chama said his statement was in connection with how we know that the ramp of the Mizbeach was on the south side. And the answer is because that's the only side that if then you turn from it towards the right, then you're going to be facing towards the east. So therefore, it has to be on the south. So once the Gemara in one place mentions this concept that it has to be Derech Yamin LeMizrach, so therefore in all the other places where the Gemara mentions the statement of Rami Bar Chama, it adds the word LeMizrach, even though it's not really needed in those places. Here, we're not going towards the east. The point is we're just going counterclockwise. Anyway, so Mar Islay Durami Bar Yechezkel, Mar Lesley Durami Bar Yechezkel. Are you going to say then that Rabbi Yisag really holds of that? Therefore, he wants the Kohen Gadol going around the Mizbeach Hazav counterclockwise so that he's constantly moving to his right. Umar Lesley Durami Bar Yechezkel, whereas we'd say Rabbi Akiva disagrees with that and says he could go clockwise instead. And the answer is no, not necessarily. Dekula Alma Islahu Durami Bar Yechezkel. Both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yisag really might be agreeing with Rami Bar Yechezkel that you need to go counterclockwise. Rather, the machlokes is as follows. Mar Sava Yafin and Pnim Michlutz. One of them says, Rabbi Yisag Levi says, we learn how we do it by the inner Mizbeach from the way we do it by the outer Mizbeach. Since we say that you have to go like Rami Bar Chama, you have to go to the right, you have to go counterclockwise. So therefore, we said that in connection with the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Does that apply also to the Mizbeach HaZahav? Rabbi Yisag really says yes. Therefore, you have to go in the same direction, counterclockwise, around the Mizbeach HaZahav. Umar Sabaloy often in Pnim Michutz, whereas Rabbi Akiva holds you don't do that. You find that by the outer Mizbeach, when you're going around to sprinkle blood on it, you find it by the Yam Shel Shloime, which is also standing outside in the Azara. Not necessarily, says Rabbi Akiva, would the same thing apply inside the Hay? So the question is, Rabbi Akiva, Nihidu Lo Yalef Ponim Michutz. Fine, Rabbi Akiva doesn't necessarily say that we should learn one from the other, but Iboy Hochi Nevid. But what's wrong, according to Rabbi Akiva, doing it either way? Why is Rabbi Akiva insisting that he does it clockwise rather than counterclockwise? The answer is Amalach Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva will tell you as follows. Midina, based on the strict din, you would have thought that Bahu Keren the Pogba Bereisha, Bahu Ovid Bereisha. Logically, we should have said that the first Keren that he comes to is the first one where he starts applying the blood. In other words, again, according to Rabbi Akiva, we said he's coming out of the south side. He's coming out from the Kodesh Kedoshim on the south side of the Hekel. He's now walking a little bit further. He's walking a little bit further in order to be able to sprinkle the blood in front of the Aron, but he's still basically on the south side. He's still on the south side of the Kodesh. Therefore, now, when he walks towards the Mizbeach HaZahav, the first corner that he reaches is the southwestern corner. By rights, he should have put the blood on that one first. After all, Rish Lakish says, you don't bypass a mitzvah. If you have a chance to do a mitzvah, then you do it now. So by rights, he should have done on that corner, the southwestern corner first. So now why is he not doing it? Because we said, because the Pasuk says he has to go out to the Mizbeach, which means Ad Nafik Mikol Mizbeach. He has to pass by the entire dimension of the Mizbeach. Fine. But Rabbi Akiva says, so therefore necessarily he has to pass the southwest corner because Gzeres HaKasu. But the Kivin de Yohi Bahu Keren, so once he goes now and applies to the southeast corner, then, okay, he has to do that because that's the first corner that he reaches after passing by the whole Mizbeach. Hoder Osi Bahu Keren, the Chayba Mesa Bereisha. Then Rabbi Akiva says it's only right. He should be going back next to the next corner, which after all should have been, by rights, the first corner that he should have applied the blood to begin with. So in other words, that's why Rabbi Akiva has him going clockwise. He has to pass by the whole Mizbeach. Therefore, he starts with southeast. Once he does that, then we want him to return. The next one that he's going to do the blood on is going to be the one that would have by rights been first and just couldn't because we got to the Mizbeach. So therefore, he goes to that one second and then he continues in that order around. So he ends up going around clockwise. So yes, Rabbi Akiva would say, usually you follow Rami Bar Yechezkel. Okay, well, according to the explanation that we're saying here in the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva is saying to learn from Rami Bar Yechezkel's rule about kol pinis shatapoina, to always go to the right, that might only apply b'chutz. Bifnim, on the face of it, you would have a choice. You could pick either way you wanted. However, given that we want to be able to apply as soon as possible to the corner that he passed by before, that requires him to go clockwise. Okay. And then we'll continue tomorrow in the Gemara Be'ez Hashem with other possible reasons that we can say why Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yisrael really disagree about the order, whether he does clockwise or counterclockwise.
But Rabbi Yossi Aglieri agrees with Rabbi Akiva that the mitzvahs that you can do right now comes first?
He would say maybe that since we have to learn ponim from chutz, we have Rami Bar Yechezkel's rule that you always have to go to the right, then he would say that overrides this. Or he might also say, you know, when you think about it, when he passes by the first point, first of all, again, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglieri, it does work out because according to Rashi's understanding of Rabbi Yossi Aglieri, he came out of the north side. So therefore, yes, the first corner that he came to was the northwest. He bypassed it and went to the northeast again because of Yotze Al HaMizbeach. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi Aglieri might very well say, well, good, that's exactly what he's doing now. He's going now exactly like Rabbi Akiva says. He's going to the next corner that he bypassed before, and now he's going to sprinkle on it, and now he's going to apply the blood to it. So good, actually, it comes out, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglieri, it's even better. Not only are we doing Ein Ma'avir Na'al Mitzvahs, we're doing that mitzvah as soon as possible, but also we're fulfilling what Rami Bar Chama is saying and going counterclockwise and going to the right as well. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, he would say, Rabbi Akiva would have to say, listen, it's true that you should normally be going to the right. But first of all, we don't necessarily learn that inside the Heichel, the same thing would apply. And even if we say it does, Ein Ma'avir Na'al Mitzvahs might be a more important factor. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva is going to have him going clockwise in order to fulfill that, even though it means not going to the right.
So what's more important for Rabbi Yossi Aglieri, going to the right or Ma'avirim Al Mitzvahs?
So according to Rashi's understanding of Rabbi Yossi Aglieri, it doesn't really matter. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglieri, you're actually accomplishing both. According to Rabbeinu Hananel's understanding, according to Rabbeinu Hananel and Tosfos Yeshanim's understanding, where they said he has to walk by the entire east-west, according to them, he has to walk along the entire east-west dimension of the Mizbeach HaZav, and along the entire north-south dimension, and because of that, he's only starting on the northeast corner. So according to them, Rabbi Yossi Aglieri would say, very nice, Ein Ma'avir Na'al Mitzvahs. But the fact is, we don't apply that over here. Instead, we apply Kol Pinis Shatapona, that you always have to be going to the right. And therefore, never mind, Ein Ma'avir Na'al Mitzvahs. Rabbi Yossi Aglieri, according to them, might even argue, look, I mean, when you pass by those corners, the mitzvah hadn't yet started. The Torah tells you have to pass by those corners. So you can't talk about it as a mitzvah that you bypassed. A mitzvah that you bypassed, we mean, if you could have applied to those corners and you chose to pass them by. Here, you don't have a choice. The Torah tells you can't apply to any of those corners that you pass by first, only you have to start with the northeast. So therefore, according to him, there might not be even a consideration of Ein Ma'avir Na'al Mitzvahs. And instead, on the other hand, we have Rami Bar Chama's rule. And according to him, that applies equally well inside the Heichel as anywhere else. Therefore, there you go. According to him, you're going counterclockwise.
Mm-hmm. Shkayach.
Thank you.